The year is 2003. Tom is your first friend on MySpace. 50 Cent costs a dollar on iTunes. The Terminator becomes the Governator. And nobody can find those weapons of mass destruction. T-minus 20. Rewind 20 years with Joe and Mel.
Week of 19 October 2003.
T-minus 20.
The rest is history.
It's Britney, bitch.
You need to
nominate two housemates. If you think your
son
bitch is full of crap, give me a hell yeah.
Welcome
to Jackass.
Oh, yeah. And it's all aboard the crazy train that is T-minus 20, the podcast where we rewind to this week 20 years ago, way back in... That's right, 2003. I am slightly mathematically challenged. With your hosts, Joe and Mel. Hello, Mel.
Hello. It's okay. We know we don't math here, so
well, you have to math. You're like the chief financial officer.
You're
really are, like, in this household. And you're also the head researcher and preparer of all things T-minus 20.
Yes.
So what is happening in the show this week?
Well, I have been preparing week of 19 to 25 October, we should be clear, back
right.
in 2003, and a song that was all over the radio here in Australia anyway.
Oh, hello, hello.
Oh, that one.
Does that borderline novelty song, do you think?
I don't think it was intended to be a novelty song, but when you've got...
Oh, hello, hello.
I don't know if it's going to set your band up for success for the rest of your career.
It's on the way to novelty, I think.
Right.
Well, that was a big album release. We're going to have a chat about that one.
Yes.
We also have a really famous stunt that you got to see IRL, didn't you?
I did. I got to see this in real life. Over in England.
Well, you'd be forgiven, wouldn't you, for thinking it's a little more interesting than watching paint dry. But actually, remember, this is an endurance test, so it's actually going to get more exciting as each day goes by. If you just take a look down there, he's been in his little box now since Friday night. You can just about make him out. I think you can probably see the soles of his feet. He's asleep right now, lucky man.
That's right. People were travelling far and wide. That is a very disgruntled news presenter as well.
As watching paint dry.
They're like, hey, you've got to go and cover a man in a Perspex box.
Well, it's a guy that's known for magic, so I completely understand the apprehension there.
It was weird. And it was the first time we'd been exposed to this particular magician and his stunts, and it certainly got him a lot of publicity and made a lot of people in the media and just the British, who are generally pretty cantankerous and fear change anyway, quite annoyed.
Yes, because it's magic. I completely understand. We had the end of a supersonic era as well
week,
20 years
ago. That sounds like a great name for an album. End of the supersonic era.
Well,
that'd be a great name for a band.
This week, 20 years ago.
It was. And that we're talking about the last flight of the Concorde.
Mm-hmm. 10 miles from touchdown. Thank you very much for flying with us. For your last time, contact the tower. Frequency is 118.5. Goodbye. Confirm 118.5 for speed 2. 118.5 for you. Goodbye.
Thanks very much indeed for everything. We've really appreciated all your help and support, speed 2.
They're so you can tell it's British Airways. British Airways. Should have been like, hey, tower, this is Concorde. Permission to buzz the tower. That's a negative. Concorde, the board is full.
It's a bit emotional. I can feel the emotion in their voices.
Yeah, yeah. We'll look more at that a little bit later on as well. Oh, somebody's let a panther loose in the studio.
Is that Janet Jackson? Are we about to hear some Black Cat? That's what that sounded like.
No, it's not, but look out. Somebody get a box of whiskers in here, stat.
Panther. It was a code name for a little operating system update that happened 20 years ago and some pretty neat features that we'll have a chat about.
Oh, we love neat features of operating systems. I just recently upgraded my operating system
to
Sonoma.
Sonoma?
Yeah.
Isn't that a bakery?
No, well, it is
a furniture place.
It is a bakery, and I think it might be a furniture place in Australia, but it's also wine country in California. So this time around, Apple seem to have come out of the mountains and they're down into the valleys.
Having a vino.
Sonoma.
Why not?
Yeah. So Sonoma's the new operating system. And it's funny because we've got a little bit of equipment for this podcast as well. And one of the companies that we use, and we're not endorsing them at all, although I think their stuff is great. So I will, but I'm not being paid to, is Rode. And Rode sent me an email and just said, listen, before you upgrade to Sonoma, perhaps you should think twice, because we're still working out if these devices will work with the operating system. And this is the challenge with Apple stuff, especially. They're always very covert and secret squirrel. And I think a lot of software companies are like this, really. So when they do these big software releases, they don't tell you anything about it. It's like it's like everyone, well, nerds, I don't want to say everyone because I'm not everyone. They wait with bated breath for a keynote to hear about the new iPhone, and it's like, we've improved the camera. And everyone's like, we have to have it.
Yeah.
It's like, what kind of a photographer are you anyway with your phone?
The upgrade's always a risk, though. I always wait a few weeks just in case. Because you close your eyes, you cross your fingers, and you're like, please let everything still work. Because we do have a lot of devices that we plug in. And there's nothing worse than it not being compatible and you having to use it.
And I had problems straight out the gate.
I heard your problems.
They were very
loud problems.
And I was swearing.
Yes.
And I was
searching
the forums.
You made your problems well known.
And I think the worst thing is when you get so desperate as to search forums and you're a Luddite, it becomes completely overwhelming and you think all is lost. It's like, well, I think I'm just going to throw this in the bin and start again. And you know what the funny thing was about this one? Well, it wasn't funny because I lost 4 hours of my life trying to figure out this little technical glitch with Final Cut Pro, actually, some video editing software. I turned it on and off again and then back on again, and it worked. It fixed the problem, and I have no explanation.
Gosh.
I have no closure. And then instead of just going, okay, well, it's fixed, I can rest comfortably, I spent the rest of the evening racking my brain. So I'm operating on zero sleep today, just completely frustrated and discombobulated by the entire experience.
Well, maybe you need to get back on the forum. Find out what the deal is. Make some friends.
There's a lot to be said for old school electronics and the time before computers. And we're probably the last generation of that. The last generation before computers. Remember we talked about the electronics repair store?
Yeah.
And how only old people go to it? I kind of wish that I had that. I'm jealous.
Maybe you could call them. Maybe they know what's up.
I'm jealous of the pensioner that rocks up with a toaster that's on the fritz that he's had for 40 years, and he'll probably get another 40 years out of it
still
if they
good.
Can fix it. Exactly.
Yes.
We're so disposable. Even our podcast stats reflect how disposable we are. Hatches, Matches and Dispatches clue. The clue for the Hatches, Matches and Dispatches segment that is happening at the end of the show. This is a little technique we use to control your minds with our podcast and hook you through listening to the very end. Unfortunately, there is another thing that technology has created called chapter markers, which means that you could skip to the end if you like, if you want to know the answer that badly.
On the edge of your seat wanting to know.
Exactly. What have we got this week?
Oh, it's a dispatch.
Oh. That's a bit sad.
It is.
What celebrity who was dispatched, as in passed away, this time 20 years ago, said this?
Swelling of the fluid sac surrounding the brain, contusions, inner bleeding. These are the things that our dreams are made of.
Wow.
Goodness me. That's full on.
Do you need to hear that one again?
Let's do it again.
Swelling of the fluid sac surrounding the brain, contusions, inner bleeding. These are the things that our dreams are made of.
Sounds like a DJ for a heavy metal radio station, doesn't it, really? we'll let you know the answer to that at the end of the show. Here is the news for the week commencing 19th of October, 2003. Mel.
You went to a Catholic school, as did I.
Yes.
Who was somebody that you did assignments on, you watched movies about? Who was the one person in RE that they always talked about?
RE? You mean religious education. I listened to my Walkman a lot during religious education.
Oh, did you do it up your sleeve? You put it up your sleeve and rest your ear on your hand so they couldn't see that you were doing it.
But
that was a great trick.
Because I listened to a lot of heavy metal, it was important to know your enemy. So actually, my best grades were religious education. So the person that you'd be referring to for the assignments would have to be Mother Teresa.
Yes. Mm. Oh, you say Teresa. Teresa.
Well, I guess in Australian Catholic school it is Mother Teresa.
Teresa.
Yes.
But it should be Teresa, should it?
I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
And it's hard. Well, I feel like it depends on what side of the planet
you're from. Yeah, and I went to school over in Canberra way, so it was Teresa.
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa.
Yes. Well, what's happening with her?
She was in the news 20 years ago because she was beatified.
Beatified.
By Pope John Paul II. Now, this is a step in the process of canonization, becoming a saint. The formal declaration of sainthood.
For people who are not Catholics and they're like canonization, it's like, that's
sounds
right.
a bit violent, doesn't
Johnny
it?
Johnny Knoxville and company come along to Mother Teresa's house and fire her from a cannon. Don't try this at home, kids.
No, she was on her way to becoming a saint. It signifies that a person is worthy and has displayed a heroic virtue during their lifetime. She was born in, time for Ari lesson, everybody. She was born in 1910.
Wow.
In Skopje?
Skopje. Yeah, Skopje or Skopje?
Part of the Ottoman Empire at the time,
yes.
Which is now the capital of North Macedonia.
She was big in Macedonia. She's very massive. The Macedonians, Macedonians. They love her in Macedonia, Mother Teresa. Mm.
She left her home at just 18 to join the Sisters of Loreto, which was an Irish community of nuns who had missions in India, and then received her religious training in Dublin.
Not a hip-hop group. It sounds like a hip-hop group, the Sisters of Loreto. Yo, where the Sisters of Loreto?
Hanging in
From
Dublin.
From the ghetto.
Yeah.
Healing sick people in the ghetto. Yeah.
Fully sick. Mm. She then went to Calcutta in 1929 and then 1946. I remember this, the call within a call. This featured in a lot of Mother Teresa content.
Oh, God spoke to her.
RE.
God spoke
the
to
call,
her. She had
the
voice.
Call within a call.
The call.
Yes.
The calling.
From God
yep.
to serve the poorest of the poor.
Because that was the other thing in Catholic school. You ask the priests or whatever. It's like, how did you know that you wanted to become
You've
a priest or
call.
A nun? It's like, I had the call. And it's like, what was it like?
Like the Backstreet Boys song?
Yeah, exactly.
Great song.
Was it like... hello? This is God. And that's Lois.
Lois is God to us.
But the call.
The call within the call. That happened in the 40s. And then in 1950, she founded the Missionaries of Charity, which was a religious congregation dedicated to caring for the destitute and dying in the slums of Calcutta.
Mm.
The thing I remember her for, and this was in one of the movies, was she worked in the leper colonies.
Yes.
Worked with people with leprosy.
Leprosy.
Yes.
Because no one else would go near him but Mother Teresa.
I always remember that.
She was a compassionate soul.
Yes.
It didn't matter if you were covered in sores, she would come and help you.
For a good 4 years, I was concerned of contracting leprosy.
Leprosy, yeah.
Yeah, it was a real threat. Legionnaires and the triads and leprosy was one of my other fears, yeah.
It is a big fear in Catholic education, leprosy.
It is, isn't it?
My first question was, could I possibly end up with leprosy?
Yes, I know.
And if so, would Mother Teresa be there to help?
And I think in the Mother Teresa movie, she knew that someone had leprosy because they leaned over a candle.
They didn't
feel the candle burning their arm. She's like, oh,
really?
I've got leprosy.
So that's why it's leprosy.
Didn't feel the candle.
Or maybe they just like got a high pain threshold.
No, it
wasn't. I thought leprosy was being covered in sores, not being able to burn yourself with a candle.
Well, I think what happens is you can't feel things anymore.
You lose a sense of feeling because
I think your skin just dies off, doesn't it?
I don't know. I'm not a leprosy aficionado.
No, neither am I. But I was terrified of it after all of this Mother Teresa RE information.
Of course. And then the movie, which they probably didn't talk through with you very well.
No.
I never saw the Mother Teresa movie.
Did you even do RE?
We had Cool Runnings. We had Gallipoli.
In RE?
No, we just never.
Bus. No, it was in RE class, on the bus to Wonderland.
Wasn't part of the curriculum, the Mother Teresa movie for us, I don't think.
Well, maybe they thought, this leprosy might be a bit too much for these kids.
We watched the Ten Commandments.
At school?
Yeah, it was big.
That would have taken a week.
It took a few weeks, actually, because you can do RE all the time. It was only like an hour a week or something. Yeah.
Wow.
So who played Mother Teresa in the Mother Teresa movie?
I don't even know what the movie
what
was
if
called.
If they recast
I'm
going
to look it up.
If they recast the Mother Teresa movie this
Who would play
these
her?
Days,
what
who do you think would be good to play Mother Teresa?
Oh, gosh.
Because she has quite distinct features.
Yeah, she does. But are you going based on someone who you feel has a Mother Teresa-ish quality or someone who looks like her?
I think... Well, both.
Oh, well, you don't have to. You don't have to guess. There was a Mother Teresa movie that came out in 2022 called No Greater Love.
And who played her in that?
Olivia Hussey played Mother Teresa in the 2022.
Who's Olivia Hussey? That you can't be called Hussey and play
and be
a
Mother
nun.
Mother Teresa, yes.
That's terrible.
I think that was poor casting.
I think because you know who I reckon if they did another one, Clint Eastwood.
What?
Have you seen Clint Eastwood these days? He'd be perfect. Dead ringer for Mother Teresa. Not even joking.
All right. Well, back to the real one. So she's founded her charity in the 50s.
Yep.
And they did some really great work. They provided medical care, food, shelter to the homeless and the terminally ill. And like you were saying, it was the people that nobody else would help.
Yeah.
They were there helping. Their work expanded into orphanages, schools, leprosy clinics, even hospices did a lot of work there.
Right.
And so her beatification and then later on her sainthood was based on her.
Beatification is like third base before sainthood.
Yes. But I don't know if that's an appropriate analogy for Mother Teresa.
It's fine. So, but it was just, that was only because, don't you have to like perform miracles or something to be canonized?
Oh, do you?
Well,
I think I'm pretty sure she did a miracle in the movie.
Did she? What, she
I feel
like levitate
did.
Or fly?
No,
are you sure? Are you sure you're not getting confused between Mother Teresa and the Flying Nun? Are you sure?
No, it's definitely Mother Teresa. It definitely was because yes, there was leprosy and the candle, and I remember it.
Uh-huh.
I remember it well. So the reason she was being beatified, like you say, is the step before sainthood. It was in recognition of her compassion. She was a role model for faith and charity. And then in, I think it was 2016, she became Saint of Fish.
Saint of Fish.
That's when she got her sainthood from Pope Francis.
Imagine if it was Clint Eastwood. Now I know what you're thinking. Did I perform 6 miracles or only 5?
No. I think she did do a miracle. I'm sure she did a miracle.
I think she has to be canonized. So, look, they when they did the beatification, they had this big service, I think, at the Vatican. Poor old Pope John Paul II. Like, he's in a pretty bad way at this stage. So they bring him out, they trot him out, and he's sitting in the chair with his big bishop's hat on.
Well, that would be heavy too,
like,
wouldn't
he
it?
He looked like Palpatine. From Star Wars, like he was just like all addled and old in the chair, and this was him at the beatification. Believe it or not, this is the English version.
I offer warm welcome, warm greetings to the English-speaking believers, especially those from India and the United States.
That, it's very awkward applause. I think he's something about welcoming the English-speaking people that are officiating something. Mm. I don't know. But he's not doing very well, old JP II.
No.
And that was a very long beatification. It went for like over 2 hours. You know, I remember when you were a kid and you'd go to Mass with your parents.
Mm. So did they have a Mass as well on top of
the
beatification?
Like,
so it's like, okay, now we've got to have the Mass too.
It's only like 1 hour, you know, a Mass. Mm. It's like sometimes when you go to like weddings and stuff and they're like, oh, we're going to have a Mass as well. And you're just like, oh, shit. How f***ing long is that going to take? Anyway.
I just want to say that I loved RE and I love Mass.
Did you?
Let me put that on the record.
I did too. It helped lift my TER.
And I think Mother Teresa was a great role model. And I think still to this day, I think she's a great role model.
Well,
did some really good work, helped out very poor communities.
There are some points of contention around Teresa. Yeah, some critics have raised concerns about the quality of medical care she provided. She's like, take one of these and one of these and one of these. And they're like, thank you, doctor. And she's like, oh, I'm not a doctor. But the missionaries of charity, they were suggesting that their conditions, their facilities weren't really up to scratch, especially as far as modern medicine goes.
Well, it wasn't modern day.
Well, it was
this
to
was
a degree.
Quite a few years ago.
It wasn't like last century, you know.
Penicillin. It was. It was in the 19s.
They'd invented penicillin. You know, they weren't robbing graves so that under the cover of darkness so they could learn more about anatomy and things like that. So there was that. And then there was also her approach to converting people that she cared for to Christianity. She's like,
Okay, you can have the tablets, but first you must profess your love for the Almighty.
I think that's fair enough. That's like when you have to give your email for a white paper. You have to. That's the price you pay.
No Christians, no treatment.
You want your meds.
Well, that's discrimination.
Three Our Fathers and a Hail Mary.
It's not very saintly. There's also been allegations of financial mismanagement within the missionaries of charity.
We don't do maths.
I mean, that's hard. Like when you're the CEO of the organization, you don't necessarily know the inner machinations of what's going on. You trust other people to do their jobs. And embezzlement, it just goes to show you, can happen anywhere. Mm. Can happen anywhere. That's why you're the chief financial officer over here. She was also criticized for associations with political leaders, including authoritarian regimes and leaders with questionable human rights records. I watched a speech that she did where she was just completely panning the concept of abortion.
Really?
You know, she's like, you're basically killing Jesus if you're killing your babies. Yeah, it was terrible. Like, that was the language she was using.
Gosh.
And some have also questioned the impact of her work, suggesting that it didn't really address any of the root causes of poverty and illness, and that it may have actually perpetuated a dependency on charity rather than sustainable development.
Oh, so giving the man the fish, not teaching the man how to fish.
Exactly. Mm. You know what they say. You give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, and you teach him to fish and he'll sit in a boat and drink beer all day. So, look, there are conflicting opinions, but like, this is like, you know, haters going to hate, you know, and sainters going to saint.
All right, let's move over to the 24th of October and some very sad news for the aviation industry. The legendary supersonic passenger airline, the Concorde, makes its last commercial flight.
Right, and on the tarmac, there was a man on the tarmac who spoke to one of the passengers, and that passenger happened to be the one, the only, Jackie Collins.
Well, it's meant to be able to get to New York in 2.5 hours. Great. Which is kind of important because we're going back on Tuesday, Sunday rather, and it's going to take us 8 hours. But it's still, you know, it's sad because, you know, to me it's a step backwards in civil aviation because it was so, you know, technologically advanced, and, you know, we're back to where we were 30 years ago now with planes. So anyway, somebody will do it again, I'm sure.
Did you like how she's talking about technologically advanced and you can hear a phone in the background?
Yeah.
Somebody's about to take a call on the tarmac. And I'm pretty
Aren't
sure.
Are you supposed to have your phone turned off
correct.
On the tarmac?
Yeah, back in the day. Probably Joan. Not a good idea. But Jackie, not Joan. Jackie Collins.
Wrong Collins.
Yeah, different
Whoops.
Collins.
My bad.
It's an easy mistake to make, really. So the Concorde has its last flight. She was very upset because she was getting from New York to back over to, you know, the motherland in like 3 hours, four hours. And now she's got to do eight.
It's complete waste
eight
of time.
Hours in first class, first world problems, honestly. it was a bit sad to see it go, though. It was a joint project between the British and French governments and manufacturers, Aircraft Corporation, BAC, and Aerospatiale.
Well, you did that well.
Thank you. Thank you. I practiced that one. I read the show notes. And it was supersonic transport. Like, how amazing. Going supersonic, flying at speeds exceeding Mach 2, which is twice the speed of sound, which saved so much travel time. It was like a very fast train in the sky.
It could travel at speeds of around 1,300 miles per hour, which is just over 2,000 kilometers per hour. Mm-hmm. And I guess, like she was alluding to, twice the speed of conventional airliners. Australia to New York, for example, on standard conventional airline, around 20 hours.
Yep.
Jump on that Concorde, you're there in 8 to 9 hours.
Pretty good.
Imagine that.
It would be great,
Imagine
wouldn't
that.
It? It would.
Although you wouldn't have as many free drinks, though.
Yeah.
That's a downside.
Yeah, but your feet wouldn't be as swollen.
That's true.
I don't know what
the toilets would probably still be relatively clean when you get there.
Would traveling at Mach 2 have some kind of effect on the human body if you were doing that for 8 or 9 hours? I guess not, because they did it all the time. Must be a pressurized cabin, right? So, you know, it should be okay. I don't know anything about the science behind all of that. So I'm going to carry on.
It's quite a stunning plane. Our son has a model of it.
Sleek,
and I like looking at it.
Delta wing styling.
Yeah. And it's got
slender.
That sort of.
A slender fuselage.
A very attractive plane.
Optimized for supersonic flight.
Its little nose was cute too.
Its
sort
little
of pointy.
Nose
yeah.
was optimized for supersonic flight.
Very good looking plane. Mm-hmm. It first flew in 1969, March the 2nd in France, but the first commercial service was a little bit later, 1976.
Yes, yes.
It made a total of 2,056 flights, primarily between Europe and North America, although our son tells me I think it did go to Singapore once or twice as well.
Really? I'd believe him too. He's very well researched on that, probably more so than us. It was just too expensive. It was unsustainable. So to do a round
trip. That's why it was celebrities that were on it.
Even by today's standards, Concorde tickets were expensive. We're talking like, you know, 10 grand for a round trip. Jeez. Or thereabouts, possibly more. That might have just been in economy. I'm not even sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But it also had some issues. Noise pollution was a problem, limited range and high operating costs. And
hence the expensive ticket price.
And remember, it interfered with that guy's balloon. Remember our mate from a few weeks ago? He was flying the balloon over the Pacific.
Had to lower his altitude.
Boom ruined his balloon flight.
Let's not forget one of them crashed as well.
Yes.
Back in, I think it was in 2000. Yeah, yes. So a few years earlier there was a major crash, and that crash shortly after takeoff from Charles de Gaulle in France, it killed 113 people.
Mm.
And that was because the tire on it struck debris on the runway, which led to a fuel tank rupture. So the debris flung up, hit the fuel tank. Fuel tank caught fire, thing exploded. Terrible.
Mm. So that, along with the cost, ultimately led to its decline. And I think, too, you know, in a post 9/11 world, all the airlines are pretty much suffering anyway. So add all that together and, yeah, see you later, Concorde. I think, yeah, the last flight, 24th of October 2003, and it flew from JFK International Airport to Heathrow.
Yes, it did. It's still very much that symbol of innovation and luxury and also aviation power and might. And there are rumours of it coming back.
I think they are trying to develop a replacement sort of supersonic aircraft, but they've got the same issues around the environmental issues and the regulatory issues.
Yeah.
And I assume the cost. Wouldn't the celebs love it for their private jets though?
Imagine the carrier. Imagine if you got Concorde by Jetstar. I would not be getting on that. Let's do some sport.
Yes, let's. We're talking about baseball. Do you know anything? Do you watch baseball? Do you know anything about it?
If I think about it, I can swing all night.
Or if you're Mother Teresa, you're on third base.
Yeah, to canonization. Look, I know a little bit about it because I played T-ball and then upgraded to softball in school.
I played softball as well, and I was so bad that I don't think I ever got to home base. I think I always got out before even first. So bad.
We used to play softball. I think it was softball or T-ball, and you'd have the T there, and everyone whose turn it was to bat would sort of line up off to the side of the T.
Oh, you didn't throw the bat, did you?
Somebody did in my class, and it bounced off the ground and into a girl's mouth and knocked all of her front teeth out.
Oh, my gosh, because they're metal bats.
Yes, it was quite spectacular and absolutely terrifying.
Would have been an exciting day.
It's like, yeah. It was really traumatizing.
Now everyone come and watch some Mother Teresa and then we'll go home.
Yes, just to calm everyone down. Quick, roll out the video machine, get your PE gear off and we'll go back to the classroom after that.
Get in the AV room and we'll wheel out the TV on the trolley. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's talk about the baseball. Florida Marlins and the New York Yankees. I feel like the New York Yankees must be a good team because doesn't everyone wear the hat?
That
hat is very popular.
It's very much a fashion statement, although hardcore baseball fans from New York would probably suggest the Mets are the team that you want to go for.
Well, there's two teams.
The New York Mets, yes, they're kind of the underdogs. The tickets are a lot cheaper than Yankees tickets as well.
Top tip.
Yeah,
thanks.
So you would tip that the Yankees would be the favourites over the Marlins, but the Marlins were from Florida, the Yankees obviously being from New York, representing the National League, and they were the champions of that series, while the Yankees represent the American League.
So there's two different leagues, and the winners of each league then come together in
the World Series. But for the Americans call it a World Series, but it is a sport that they only play in America. Oh, I think they play it in Japan as well, but it's hardly the World Series. And look, to be honest, they play it here too, but I don't think anyone really cares. I'm sorry. There probably
are
people
that cares
about baseball.
Yes, because he's the physio for one of the baseball teams.
That's right. If you think about it, you can swing all night. So the Marlins are the National League, Yankees, American League. The World Series is a best of seven games.
Best of seven. Why wouldn't you just do best of three?
It's almost as grueling as test match cricket, isn't it? Yeah, like, I don't know.
When it's someone's like, already, yeah, at that point.
It's like when I watch basketball and they score, like they can score upwards of 100 points. They play like four quarters and it's like score, score, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards. And then it always comes down to like the last few points. And it's like, why don't you just play one quarter real quick and just score less points?
Yeah.
It would save everyone a lot of time.
Get on with our lives.
Well, then you can't.
Why can't you do like the Concord edition?
They need to sell hot dogs and beer and merchandise.
They do sell
and
pretzels
gambling
at
and
the
all
baseball,
of that sort of
all those
stuff.
Big so, warm pretzels. That's
anyway,
good.
Best of seven. Mm. The Marlins win the series in six games. It goes Marlins win, Yankees win, Marlins, Marlins,
see?
Yankees,
best
Marlins.
Of three would have been the Marlins.
Exactly.
So you could have
you
just
say Marlins
there.
So many times, I think about Brett Mullins. Mullins, Marlins, Marlins. Anyway, here is the final play of the game.
Trying to win it all again. Posada, slow roller right side. Beckett picks it up, tags Posada, and the Florida Marlins are world champions. The Marlins have stunned the Yankees, shot New York, and this improbable team, improbable ride, they end up on top, winning in six games over the Yankees.
It was a colossal upset, and there is some great shots in the crowd of Yankees fans just in utter disbelief, very, very upset, and total jubilation on the other side from the Marlins fans. But it was controversial. There was a very controversial moment, in fact, in the game, in Game 6, when a pop-up hit by Yankees player Derek Jeter was ruled a foul ball by the umpire, but the replay suggested that it had been a fair ball. You know, it's a foul when it goes behind.
Oh, yes.
You know, so, yeah, they said it was a fair ball. And this decision led to a whole bunch of debate, but it didn't matter because the Marlins won the game and it didn't affect the outcome.
Oh, so not so controversial.
Yeah. Think about it. We can swing all night now. Let's go to technical news with this.
Panther, Apple's amazing new operating system. Great hardware like this demands great software. OS X is already fantastic. Unix, tons of great features, the best out there. And you know what? Jaguar's only been out a year, but Apple's made it even better with Panther's 150 new features, like a great new finder that's designed all around you. See this? All my stuff's right here in the left side of the Finder window. Now everything is just one click away. My documents, my apps, my iDisk, even my CDs and DVDs. My stuff. All the stuff I care about. Whatever I want, I just drag it in. Whatever I don't want, I just drag it out. How easy can you get?
Yeah, how easy can you? You know, everything about that ad, the music, everything.
The vibes.
It makes me want to throw on a white polo shirt and tuck it into some really highly pulled up chinos.
I'm just here for the vibes. I love that corporate music. Isn't that great?
There's a lot there. There's a lot going on with Panther.
There's a lot to unpack. So Panther superseded Jaguar. Remember the controversial Jaguar?
Because he couldn't say
So he's like, let's just move to Panther, right? I can say that.
I can't pronounce it. They were like, Steve, listen, we got to do. I reckon he would have rushed it. He would have rushed the software upgrade because he's realized he's mispronounced Jaguar. And it's
although
called a Jaguar.
I have heard, isn't there, there's a sporting team and I've heard them in the commentary being called the Jaguars.
Are you serious?
I'm sure.
They should fire that commentator.
Is that the?
Jacksonville.
Yes. And I'm sure I've heard Jaguars.
Just call them the Jags for short and keep you out of trouble.
Anyway,
but then
we don't
if you're Dutch, you call them the Yags and everyone gets confused. So.
Well, we're okay now because we've got Panther. Mm-hmm. And as you heard, the Finder was great. All my stuff, all my important things in the Finder. I get so muddled with Finder. I've got too many things in Finder. Just doesn't find anything anymore. It's
confusing. A loser. Yeah.
That's my fault, though. I haven't saved things in a logical way.
I just think if they really were worth their salt, every time you wanted like a pop-up notification, that would have been amazing. Oh, I've got mail. Oh, my
From
disc
Janet
is nearly
Jackson.
Full. Yeah.
besides the Finder thing, and I don't know why the guy didn't talk about this because I feel like this was a
he probably went on to talk about it.
But he started with Finder.
I didn't really want to endure the rest of that.
Safari. This is the time that Safari was the default web browser. I think they'd used Explorer before that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's exciting.
That's interesting too. Safari and then their operating systems are all big cats and it all was all neat and tidy and tied in and then...
Well, they just ran out of words. Then, yeah.
So they decided to do mountain ranges and now they're in wine country.
Who knows where they end up after wine country? They have a few... A few drinks and
probably the gutter.
This could be good. Burning CDs and DVDs directly from the desktop.
Oh, amazing.
Top tier feature.
That's a game changer.
Yes.
Yep.
Burning them off your Napster or your LimeWire. Fantastic.
Yep.
Enhanced security. They had some kind of encryption through something called Firevolt.
Yes.
Fontbook.
A fan of Fontbook to this
day. I love Fontbook.
I'm a big fan of Fontbook. I've got a lot of time for Fontbook.
Yes.
Yep.
I love a font. And it makes it easier. You just copy. So you go and buy your fancy fonts off the internet and you just move it into Fontbook and then open up your Word. That's my new font.
Gets me all saucy. Makes me want to loosen the top button of my chinos.
There's my Baskerville. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Excellent.
And iChat was upgraded to support audio and video conferencing. It made it easier and it was like a Mac to Mac thing. I remember when it was called iChat.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think we ever had enough power or bandwidth to use that. Because the only time I was using any of these things was in school and I wasn't in school anymore. So we just Macs were these unobtainable objects.
Mm. We had a Mac computer lab at uni. We had we had a PC and we had a Mac and we used the PC one, I don't know, I think for desktop publishing we used the Mac one for public relations. I don't know why, but yeah. We got
so
to
you could do iChat,
messages.
You know.
Yeah, so you could just,
forth.
Yes, chat, public relations relating to the public. Great. That's really all I have to say about Panther, unless you've got some.
No. Just be like, you know, just. That'll do.
Yeah, nice.
Music time.
Yes, let's start with the UK. A brand new number one over there, Hole in the Head by Sugar Babes. Ooh, boy, you miss me like a hole in the head because I do, boy. I don't have any information on them because we've spoken about them at length. So back to episode 63.
Round song?
Yeah,
that's. I mean, you can't put Hole in the Head on Woolworths Radio.
No.
It just doesn't.
It upsets the kids.
Yeah.
You don't want the kids crying over their free banana.
Not really. No. Not at all.
All right. Let's move across to the US then before we upset anybody.
Okay.
Here's what the top five sounded like. Five. Yeah. If you don't give a damn, go.
There's some weird stuff happening the charts. I think the album releases are more indicative of a reflection on society, which we'll talk about later on. But I find it incredibly vexing that Get Low is climbing the charts.
I feel like there's a lot of mixed messages in that top five. Stand up, shake your tail feather, get low. What am I doing? Am I standing up? Am I getting low? Am I shaking my tail feather? I don't know.
Exactly.
Too many instructions. I cannot keep
baby
up.
Baby boy. My God.
Oh, boy. Yeah. She's still number one, Beyonce.
Of course.
She's
still got like 7 or 8 weeks to go too, I think. Maybe six. I don't know. Yeah.
Get Low, Lil Jon, Ying Yang Twins. I think Young Bloods as well.
Oh, yeah. They were down the bottom there with Damn.
Shake Your Tail Feather. Yeah, well, they're number two for Get Low, but they're also number five for Damn. Well, it's Young Bloods featuring Lil Jon, whereas just, the other one's Lil Jon featuring Young Bloods.
Oh, so Young Bloods are in Get Low
Young
as
Bloods,
well.
I think, are in Get Low, as well as the Ying Yang Twins.
Go away.
I know.
Too much. There's too much Lil Jon in there.
Shake Your Tail Feather, Nelly and Diddy and not City Spud. And Stand Up is a new entry in at number four by Luda. Spring Rolls Are Unpredictable, Chris.
Yes, he was doing this, and then he was breaking out into acting in the Fast and the Furious movies as well.
Yes, a very busy guy, early 2000s. Yep. Stand Up is the second official single that he had in 2003, taken from his fourth album, Chicken and Beer.
Chicken and Beer. He's a man after my own heart. I do like.
And is he from the South? He's from the dirty, dirty South.
Is he? I think his style. I think he's Southern. His rapping style. Mm. I like the timbre of his voice.
Yes. He is great. Mm. That song was actually produced by Kanye and co-produced by Ludacris himself. It goes on to be his first number one single.
Oh, spoiler alert. You've done it again.
Early 2000s, there was a bit of a formula that people cottoned onto after Missy Elliott actually figured it all out. You get Ludacris as a guest vocalist on one of your verses and your song will just blow up. So she collabed with him on, firstly, I think it was 1 Minute Man.
Uh-huh.
And then she worked with him again on Gossip Folks.
Yep.
Ciara worked with him, Ride and O, Pharrell, Moneymaker.
Yep.
Usher.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
And this one.
Oh, DJ Khaled. You got to shout his name. You can't just announce
ruining
him.
Ruining good songs since 2000.
Yeah. Ludacris going in on the verse because I've never been defeated and I won't stop now. Whoa. Keep your hands up, get them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it and my folks locked down. Whoa. I never went nowhere. Know what they saying, Luda's back. Yeah. Blame it on that contour. The hood call it Luda Yak. Hey. And I'm on this foolish track. So I spit my foolish flow. My hands go up and down, down like strippers' booties go. Yeah, woo! His hands go up and down like strippers' booties go. That was that all I do is win, 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 no matter what. I used to use that at Brumbies games when I was doing some of the stadium music when they scored a try.
Oh, the crowd would have gone wild.
Not really, because they're rugby fans. And rugby is a very private school
sport. Don't you want to win, 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 win? Put your hands up.
Yeah, I think the players might have appreciated some of the kids in the crowd, but a lot of the old private school members, not really fans of, and the hands go up.
Oh, well, my.
And they stay there. They weren't like, this is a banger or anything like this. And then the Ludacris comes on and he's like talking about booties going up and down. It didn't go well.
My favorite instructor on the Apple Fitness app, Jen. She loves Ludacris and she tells the story because she always tries to slip a Ludacris into the weights session. And she tells the story of when she went to Ludacris. That was her first ever concert as a young girl in the early 2000s. And she lost one of her hoop earrings at Ludacris. And if that doesn't scream early 2000s, I don't know what does.
Where's it go, hoop earring? That's like a rite of passage.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's move across to Australia now. We had a brand new number one here. We finally got rid of Black Eyed Peas, Justin Timberlake, Where Is Love?
Well,
And we've got a song called Rise Up by the Australian Idol Final 12 contestants.
We've got to rise up
over higher mountains.
Rise up, rise up,
rise.
Final 12. Can you name the final 12? Let's test you here. Do you remember who was in the final 12? Well, you know who won.
Okay. So I know that there was hang on. Let's do this. Where is it? Here we go.
Oh, bringing it all back.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Australian Idol final 12. I've only got Guy Sebastian, Shannon Knoll. I know those two.
Well, the dress. The final two. Hello, the dress incident.
Paulini.
Yes.
Paulini.
The nodules.
Cosima with the nodules.
Yep. There was one that ended up with one Paris Hilton.
Rob Mills, Millsy.
How could you forget Millsy?
Can't forget Millsy.
Yes.
And that's pretty much the extent of who I remember from that season. And you know what? I watched it religiously because it was the biggest thing on TV in Australia at the time. And you had to, if you were working on a commercial radio station and you didn't watch it and you didn't talk about it, you would lose your job.
You got in trouble.
Yes.
It was a water cooler. Water cooler topic.
Did you watch Idol last week?
How about that Idol? Yes. Mm. Well, luckily for everybody, I jumped in the Wayback Machine and I found the Australian Idol official website from 2003.
Really?
I think it was Channel 10, but I think it was on like Yahoo or something.
What
it was back when URLs were Yahoo.
What do you reckon the WCAG rating of that would be?
Oh,
not excessive.
Gross.
Yeah.
It was gross. Yeah, there was lots of flashing and
widgets.
Things. Yeah, it was very unattractive. But it had bios on each of them. So we can relive the top 12 if you like.
Sure.
Would you like to?
Sure. Well, let's start with Rob Mills. He actually played over 150 games before he chucked in football to pursue a singing career. Here we go, here we go, here we go. In an odd twist, Rob did his first ever audition standing at a urinal at a footy club. Oh, that's like Todd Carney. He did that as well. It wasn't an audition so much as a demonstration.
Was he singing? Is that what he was doing? No, he was singing. No. Okay, makes so much more
sense.
He
was about to sing, but he had to gargle first.
He had nodules, all right, to give him a break.
Levi Kariyama. Levi prefers an urban clubbing lifestyle to the outdoor beachy scene as he has formed an R&B band called Lethbridge. Did he have a lisp?
I don't know.
Like, supposed to be Lethbridge. Like Lethbridge.
Lethbridge. Mm. I do remember Levi, actually, now that you say that name.
With his older brothers, and it's an all-singing, all-dancing boy band. But like the true betrayer that he is, he's left them for the fame and fortune of primetime TV. Well done.
Oh, good one, Levi.
What about Rebecca Lavorni?
I think it's pronounced Rebecca.
Oh, Rebecca Lavorni. Rebecca used to crave chocolate and would sometimes take the entire chocolate jar from its secret location and eat the contents. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Gee whiz, she's going to have substance abuse problems if she gets successful, isn't she? She can't have that sort of self-control. Which was considerably more than just one piece of chocky. You know,
Excuse me, who has a chocolate jar? What's a chocolate jar? Who keeps chocolate in a jar?
Who stole the chocolate from the chocolate jar? Rebecca stole the chocolate from the chocolate jar, honestly.
Oh, you could be in the top 12 with those pipes. Amazing.
Lauren Buckley. She might be looking for a new roommate because rumour has it that Lauren actually snores.
Oh, because they all live together.
She's got sleep apnea. She should get a CPAP.
Well, maybe
machine.
They should be a bit more understanding.
This is text from the website. This is a bio that
they
published.
These are the bios in the Wayback Machine.
So you're like, hey, I've watched Idol. How can I find out more about these people?
These top
Thank
12.
You, says the internet. I'm glad you asked. Here's some really terrible
bios. Click on their
bios.
Head. And, well, this is condensed bio. Most bios were probably 200 words. There's a lot of content. This is just the best bits. You skipped over Kelly. Do you remember Kelly? I remember Kelly. She was a little rock chick.
Kelly Cavuoto.
And she had a Dido flip. She had the layers. Straightened her hair and she did all the Rocky songs. Remember her?
Oh, you know what too? Kelly, this power pack unwinds by indulging in a spot of yoga, which she tapes off the telly in the mornings and then plays back later in the day.
Same.
These
Kelly,
people
same.
Are just not very well equipped for a rock and roll lifestyle. That was like Aerobics Oz style. I used to tape that in the morning to do other things with later in the day. Anyway.
Great leotards.
Q, as a child, she was in often such a rush to go places, she would hide her dirty washing in the cupboards and under her bed so she could save time doing the washing and visit her friends.
Oh,
her name was
smooth
Q.
Move, Q.
Q.
And she didn't have a last name in her profile. It just said Q.
Really?
So she's like Cher.
That's
or
so,
Prince.
So edgy.
That Q. is edgy.
Q.
I don't remember Q.
Do you reckon her parents were like a fan of billiards?
Maybe that's how they met.
Pool. Perhaps.
Maybe they met down at the Muso playing.
What about this guy?
Putting their dollar on the side of the table.
Yeah,
my dollar was there first.
Yeah.
And then a romance ensued.
Now I'm pregnant. What are we going to call
it? That's how it always happens. You touched my dollar.
Yeah, yeah. You put your balls
now you
in
have
my.
To, now you have to marry me.
Put your balls in my triangle and and then you full break and. That's how he ended up with Q. Matt Chadwick.
Oh, from the modelling company, modelling family?
Matt spends his week working at Movie World on the Gold Coast, presenting the character of Fred from the Scooby-Doo gang. That's a tough job.
Oh, so he obviously knew Sophie Monk and thought, well, you know, she got into Bardo.
Oh, we've been to Movie World on the Gold Coast. Cosplaying movie characters on the Gold Coast, having to hug all those kids. It's the polyester. The BO.
Spandex, yeah.
Most of the character performers at Movie World, I'd hate to say it,
Sorry, guys.
Need to up their deodorant game.
Yeah, maybe get like the clinical strength Rexona. Yeah. That's what I use and I sweat like a man.
Especially Batman. Like Batman, like he's not fighting crime.
Wear a bodysuit underneath, like a sweat wicking.
Something to wick away the moisture.
Yeah, Climacool from Adidas.
Yeah. Batman was developing a starter for sourdough in his pants. It was just revolting. Anyway.
All right. Now, I think we've gotten to 11 now, haven't we? Chuck, Guy and Shannon. We don't need to talk about them. We know about them. Who is the last one?
Later. Peter Ryan. Peter has a pretty unusual job. Ooh. He works in the mating section of the piggery at Tabulam in northern New South Wales, where the pigs are on a mating quota. His job is to ensure the weekly quota is met.
What? I have so many questions.
I reckon he's actually really well equipped for the entertainment industry in Australia. If he spent all of that time jerking off pigs, he's good to go. All right, let's go over to some new albums this week in the music industry and world. We've got a pop starlet. I guess is this a coming of age? Like, she was quite bubblegum before this, wasn't she?
Mandy Moore. Yeah, so she had that song Candy where she was driving the green Beetle and she had the Discman. And
Missing You Like Candy. She's in that movie A Walk to Remember.
You watched that, didn't you?
A Walk to Remember.
We've discussed this, haven't we?
Yeah, I did.
You enjoyed it.
I was very bored. It's a tearjerker.
Yeah, I think this was her third album. I think it was her second. It was called Coverage. Mm. And it was a bit more of a mature sound with this track here, In My Pocket.
In My Pocket. How much for your love? What's going on there, Mandy?
It sounds like a bit of an Eastern influence there. It's a bit, All I can think of now, though, is our son used to watch a show called Grandpa in My Pocket. Mm. And the kid's grandpa was really small and used to put him in the pocket.
I'm hearing that in the lyric now. I've got a grandpa in my pocket. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Take him out to do some things.
Yeah, well, it's not like you couldn't have.
In my pocket.
You're not ruining Mandy Moore for me per se. But,
no, I did like Mandy Moore.
Did you?
Mm, I did.
Good.
This song was really big in the early 2000s. I think it featured on a lot of soundtracks, including the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy soundtrack, Basement Jacks.
That was from the album Kiss Cash that they had put out. Mm. But that song had been doing the rounds for quite some time, I believe.
It was really big on the dance charts, yes.
Well, Basement Jacks were interesting because they seemed to release something different every time.
And were they the ones that were known for having really quirky video clips as well?
Reasonably.
Did they
quirky.
Have one with like cats?
You might be thinking of Aphex Twin.
I don't know what an Aphex really Twin is. Stuff. No, I'm sure Basement Jacks had something with cats, or did they have the monkeys with human faces?
I thought that was Aphex Twin.
There was some animal thing. Anyway. And if you woke up in the middle of the night and Rage was on after you'd had a big night out, and you wake up and that video clip was on, it was like, whoa.
Freak you out a little bit.
I think it was monkeys with people's faces.
Probably.
I think it was.
Or people with monkeys' faces.
Oh, goodness.
You know. I mean, equally who knows? This is what happens.
Where's your head at?
Oh,
and was the monkeys?
Where's your head
and
at? Where's
was the did they have
at?
The band members' faces or something?
Must have.
And that one, yes, that's one that I woke up to a few times. And went, whoa, I'm going back to sleep
because of the monkeys with the
very frightening.
Most of our music consumption for that sort of off chart stuff. I mean, the chart stuff was work for you, right? But then off charts is like late at night, Rage.
Mm.
Rage. I mean, doesn't get much more educational than that. let's do an album from Amy Winehouse. She released an album called Frank with this song, Stronger Than Me. Feel like a lady, yeah, you my lady boy. You should be stronger than me. But instead, you're longer than frozen turkey. So good. So good. Her voice is so good.
I've always liked her.
It's just a tragedy. It really is. I mean, she had so much potential and it's such a waste. But what a voice. What a voice. What a great album Frank was.
And I think that was her first album. And that was before she hit the really big time, because Rehab was her really big song. And I think that was on her second album.
Mm-hmm.
So this was where she was still kind of quite new to the scene.
That's right. And then we had this album. She told me my tracks. I said, I'm hello, hello. Sleeping in a sandwich, some dreams in my head that were causing an extension to the towel and my bed. The Cat Empire with Hello, Hello. And that certainly propelled them to a bigger level than what they had been at. A good party band, very talented musicians.
Melbourne, I think.
Yeah.
Jazz funk band.
Correct. And I remember them coming to Canberra like many, many times and putting on great shows. Of which I did not attend.
But they were great.
From all reports. Oh, yeah, I saw the Cat Empire and they were bloody great. You should go and see them.
They've got a good logo too. I like their logo.
Stop ramming your musical taste down my throat, please. Mm. I have no desire to. But very tight, very good band. Mm. I just feel like that song, because it was a bit gimmicky with the hello, hello.
Yes. It does feel a bit novelty song.
Mm.
It is getting close to it. Borderline Mumbo Number 5.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, it's catchy and it's fun and it was like a big summer anthem and it was used on a lot of sporting promos, and when it came on at the club, everyone's like, ooh, it's kind of feel good, but it's just.
And you couldn't follow it up.
It's just this far away from being gimmick.
Mm.
And then, yes, what did you hear from them after that? I don't remember any other songs from them.
They did have a couple of other songs, but they never. And, like, if you listen to Triple J, you probably heard a bit of them.
Yeah.
But they just didn't achieve the level of commercial success that they did.
It's
with
a
that
shame.
First song.
Hmm.
But they also, that first song would have been when the big injection of funds had come along for the record company. And also, maybe it wouldn't have been the case, and maybe it wouldn't have even been seen as a novelty song, except for the fact that everyone was then pouring all their money into Idol. So Idol was really making it difficult, I think, for any other bands that were trying to attempt any kind of mainstream success.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
They are still doing things, though.
Cat Empire.
Yes. I think they released an album this year called Where the Angels Fall. And I think the lineup has changed over the years, though. So I think there's a couple of original members and then a few newbies as well. So they are still doing stuff. And they did a lot of activism as well for the environment, Great Barrier Reef, doing some good stuff there too. So good on them.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't think cats really liked the ocean, but sure. that is like that. I guess that's testament to your passion for your craft, and that's the thing. Like, you know, they're probably, I don't know, I don't want to say that they're not going to ever achieve the same level of success, but conversely, look at Idol now, and you've got people coming on to those sort of talent shows that had done the rounds in the early 2000s and been on the talent shows before and now coming back and doing it again.
Yeah.
Like, hey, remember me?
Or had
me?
Commercial success outside of Idol. Yeah,
correct.
That's
and they're
so
like,
true.
Yeah, like the chick from Bachelor Girl, for example.
What?
She was on a singing show. But it's like, hey, remember me? And everyone's like,
No. And there was someone who did vocals with Paul Mack, who I used to love.
Yeah.
And I think from Leonardo's Bride, I think she was. Yeah,
yeah, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. But look, it's inspired me because I do like that jazz sound and our dog loves jazz.
Mm.
Did you know that? Our dog, when I walk past the shops, because the guy that plays the saxophone down at the shops busks on the weekend, whenever the saxophone guy's there, she's just like, ugh, I'm in heaven. Can
really
we walk really slowly?
To it, yeah.
Loves it. Loves some jazz. So I am
what
going.
What does she do? Like throw on a beret and start smoking a cigarette or something?
Yes. No, she just looks and she just turns around. She's like, oh,
okay.
This is great.
Cool.
I want to stay here. So we have a little listen, then we come home. But I'm going to put the Cat Empire on and I'm going to listen to the rest of their music.
Good.
Yes. I feel like I owe them that.
Well, they're a hardworking band. And the fact that they're still working today says that. Okay. We got another album release, I believe, or is it just a single?
It's a single.
It's a single
for a much anticipated album.
Yeah.
Are you going to play it?
Yeah.
Please play it.
How about I do? Do you want me to play it?
Please play it.
I might play it.
Yeah, I think you should. All my people on the floor. Let me see you dance. Let me see you.
Britney Spears / Madonna.
Yes.
You shouldn't say slash because she dances with knives these days. It's all very terrible. So Britney and Madonna, me against the music.
first single for her upcoming album, In the Zone, wasn't always going to feature Madonna. So rewind to the MTV Video Music Awards, the Pash.
The Kiss, the Kiss, yeah.
And Christina as well. Christina was in the Pash. We need to acknowledge that.
The camera
cut
to Justin. So,
So during rehearsals, Britney played her the song. Have a listen. Mads, have a listen to my new single. It's going to be the first single from In the Zone.
Yeah.
Coming out soon. Or not In the Zone, The Zone. What do you reckon? And Madonna has gone, I like it.
Yeah.
Britney goes, want to be on it. Madonna goes, yes.
Yep, I'm all over that.
So not only did that MTV Music Awards give us the Kiss, it gave us this the hashtag collab.
Right. Yes.
Commercial success peaked in top of the charts here in Australia. Denmark, very big in Hungary. Also Ireland and Spain.
There you go.
Interestingly, though, over in the US, the Billboard, what is it, 200, 100, whatever, the Billboard charts.
Yeah.
Only went to number 35.
Is that right?
I would have thought anything Britney touched at this point would have been straight to number one.
I think
one.
They're too busy with Beyonce and Ludacris and, you know, Diddy and all
Isn't
of that
interesting?
Stuff. Shaking their tail feathers and getting low and all that stuff. They don't want to take on, they don't want to go against music and get in the zone.
It's
they're
dangerous.
Too busy getting low.
Too dangerous to be against the music.
You get low and be in the zone at the same time.
Can't.
There could be problems.
You can't. Exactly. You're going to slip a disc.
Exactly. Exactly. In music news, we have the 17th annual ARIA Awards at the Sydney Superdome, hosted by Rove McManus. And the best thing about the ARIAs is they put the ARIAs in 2 minutes up on their YouTube channel. And I took that 2 minutes and went, I reckon if I keep all of that Powderfinger song in there, we're probably going to get taken off the podcast. So I chopped some of it up just so you could hear some highlights from the ARIAs, and we'll talk about it in a sec.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the 17th annual ARIA Awards, the pointiest award ceremony in the entertainment industry.
Golden Road, Keith Urban.
Celebrate, high five.
Real cheaters.
Alex Lloyd.
Oh, thank you very much.
John Farnham into the 2003 ARIA Hall of Fame.
If you didn't look at it, listen to it, go out and play with it, jump around to it, and love it as much as you do, no one in this room would be right here, right now. Thank you very much.
Powderfinger for Vulture Street.
Welcome to my Powderfinger.
Vulture Street, Powderfinger.
We love everyone that bought this record. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we thank you for liking it, loving it.
Too Born to Try, Delta Goodrem.
Goodrem, ladies and gentlemen. Innocent Eyes, Delta Goodrem.
Delta Goodrem.
Delta Goodrem, ladies and gentlemen.
Touchdown.
Congratulations, Delta Goodrem.
Go, Delta.
Who else?
Delta Goodrem.
Miss Delta Goodrem.
To all my foreign fans and everybody out there who supported me, thank you to my angels above and God bless. Good night.
Until next year's ARIAs, I'm Rove McManus. Say hi to your mum for me. Good night.
Gotta hate the ARIAs. Really do. It's just awful. It's cringe. It's so embarrassing.
I'm glad that Alex Lloyd kept his speech to thank you after last year. Remember 2002's effort?
Oh, yeah.
It was very offensive.
Yeah. They're all offensive.
Thank you.
ARIAs offends me on so many levels because it's just like, it just scrapes the surface of an industry that has so much depth in the pubs and the clubs around Australia. There's so many great pub and club bands in Australia. And then you've got like these gatekeeper overlords that are completely clueless and then they put on their Night of Nights. And it really is a national embarrassment.
It's a lot of alcohol, a lot of people making asses of themselves. But as you probably took away from that montage that you hopefully cut short enough, big winner of the night, Delta. She had 13 nominations and 7 wins, including Single of the Year, Best Female Artist, Breakthrough Artist, Highest Selling Single and Best Pop Release. And this is the time when she's quite ill. So she didn't end up.
I mean, not great.
No, not great. She didn't end up performing because she was too unwell. And the Savage Garden guy did Born to Try. Do you remember that? Was very emotional.
How emotional.
And I remember her in the audience just.
Weeping.
Oh,
I just. 7 wins, like best female artist, breakthrough artist, high selling single, best pop release, like amongst
what
many
about other
others.
People?
Like, sure, is that really? I'm not saying she's not good, but is that the best we can do? Surely that somebody else could edge in another category, like you know. And the winner of best metal performance is Delta Goodrem, for Not Me, Not I. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Then Powderfinger won 3, I think, which is fine. The Wiggles won Outstanding Achievement Award, and John Farnham got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
He did. He did. And I think it's interesting that you say that about other people. Like, there were some other great female artists that actually performed on the night as well. And
yes,
they were nominated. I think we had Amiel.
Yes.
Who did the song Love Song.
Yeah, she did, was it Stupid Love Song? Is that what it's called? Or Love Song? It's called Love Song.
Yes, I thought it was another Stupid Love Song. And then I heard the unedited version.
Yeah, she dropped a swear at the end, but the arias wouldn't allow it to go. Well, I think, because they never do it live. There's a two-hour delay.
There's a delay.
So by the time it hit the airwaves, it had lost all its impact.
I've just read it.
I liked her. I really liked her. She was the one that did the vocals for Addicted to Bass as well.
Yeah, and here she is. She didn't win anything.
Because she was nominated in a couple of the Delta categories, as was Candice Ali. Remember her?
Candice. I thought it was Candice Ali.
Well, I always say Ali because it just feels nicer. But maybe it is Ali. I don't know. But she had it. She had an amazing, remember the early 2000s proof where you did this hair thing and then your hair was like big at the back? She had this amazing hairdo.
She wore that to the Arias.
No, she performed. She performed her song Fallen, which was a great song.
Yeah.
So, yes, sad that she didn't win either. She was good.
Yeah, Australian music industry was a winner on the night, surely. I mean, at least this is the year before all the idols show up.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the last year.
Should we not ever talk about the Arias again on this show now? Because
we can do it. We're going to have to publish a trigger warning. I'm already cranky about it. I honestly think it is so embarrassing. Like, just to showcase Australian music and do it in such a terrible way is really awful. Let's get Rove McManus there. Say hi to your mum for me. Like, why? Like, go away.
Crikey.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a drop in standards with hosts, you know. Say hi to your mum for me. I mean, Tony Barber was like, keep smiling and bye for now. The world really is wonderful, Simon Townsend. You know, Johnny Young used to sing a song. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. And then you've got say hi to your mum for me. And so it goes. Over to the box office. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre is number one in cinemas in the USA.
What the hell was that?
What?
I just saw something.
All right, that's it. If somebody's out there, just come on out!
What is that? The hitchhiker. What were they all doing here?
What are you doing in my house?
You're all gonna die. Oh, ah!
Nothing like Leatherface and his hillbilly relatives to scare people into the movie theater or out of it. I don't even know.
Was that the point where Steve put his key in your lock?
That's not a metaphor. That actually happened and it scared the crap out of me. Yes. No, because this is number one at the US box office. I think I was watching the original at that stage. I don't understand how this is number one. They have remade the Texas Chainsaw Massacre a couple of times and they've done a whole bunch of sequels. There's one that's got Matthew McConaughey in it.
I was going to say there's no famous people in this one. I don't recognize any of these names.
No, it was a bit of a reboot, I think.
There's some celebs in one of the other versions.
These people go to Harlow in Texas to start a business venture and then they run into Leatherface and his family and they obviously kill them all. That's pretty much it, you know. But one of the residents in the area is actually one of the survivors of the massacre who wants to get revenge, which just didn't make any sense. The critics hated it, 31%. The audience hated it even more, 25%.
Let's stop talking about it.
It's a shame. Leatherface is a great horror movie villain. He's just, you know, yeah, just didn't do it very well. Anyway, number one in Australia was still Kill Bill.
And number one in New Zealand as well, obviously.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, look, let's move on to some magic news. Can we?
You've got the magic news.
What? What? I hate magic.
This is good. This is interesting
but
magic.
But this is good because everyone else hates this magic.
This magician's out there with the long game. Very long game.
I don't understand this guy.
He's definitely intriguing as far as musician goes. We're talking
musicians.
As far as yes. I'm going to sit up here for 44 days and play the Perspex box.
David Blaine. We're talking about
magicians.
Talking about David Blaine. The 19th of October 2003 is the last day of his 44 days in a, well, it's not a glass box, it's Perspex because glass would be dangerous. Yeah. A stunt that is referred to as, and I'm sure he named this, David Blaine : above the below.
Yeah.
I think he named it.
Yeah.
He's a magician and
he did a documentary called Above the Below, I'm pretty sure. About
yeah,
the whole
named
thing.
After the stunt.
And let me tell you, it's a dude sitting in a Perspex box for 44 days. It was fucking boring.
He's a magician.
Yeah.
Ugh. And an endurance artist known for pushing the boundaries of physical and mental limits. So he.
I'd like to apologize to any magicians who may be listening to the podcast.
Why?
Who are offended by Mel's distaste for your art.
I hate magic.
Okay. Well,
I'm not going to apologise.
I know why you hate magic. You always hate what you fear. So keep going.
This was part of his effort to test his endurance.
Yeah.
Because he's an endurance artist. And his willpower while capturing the attention of the public and the media. I think that was his goal.
Hey, Mel.
Mm.
Pick a card.
F*** off. This is the guy, he buried himself alive outside a Trump building one time.
Yep.
And do you remember the one where he was inside a block of ice and he had to stay inside a block of ice for 72 hours?
Why?
Dumb.
What for?
Dumb. Yeah, magic silly. Is dumb. Mm. So he thought, everybody loves me. I'm this wacky endurance magician. I know what I'll do. I've got a great idea. I'm going to go over to the UK and hang myself in a box near the Tower Bridge in London.
Yep.
Poms will love it.
Yeah.
Poms will love it.
Yeah. And, well, they didn't because obviously there was this little thing called a war.
Yes.
And they were really angry at their prime minister for just wholeheartedly agreeing with George Bush. Mm. So the last thing that they wanted to hang an American near the Tower Bridge, just not in a Perspex box. Yeah.
It was a mix of bemusement and irritation.
It really was.
Who asked him to do this? Why is he doing this? Is he going to die? Where's he getting his air? Where's he getting his food? How's he going to the toilet?
Yeah,
these
well,
are all very valid questions.
Well, you know, we heard earlier from the reporter on the scene. There is more. This was from the early days, though, of course.
All weekend, people have been gathering below him and chucking things at his Perspex box. If you look closely, you can probably see the marks on the side of the box there where the missiles have hit. But at least, I suppose, he's attracting the attention he would have wanted.
Cordelia, there's been no movement, I take it, from him this morning. Has there been any talk about whether or not he's going to get through these 44 days? Because no food, just water, is a bit more than an endurance test, isn't it?
It certainly is. Doctors are very concerned. If you believe the hype, human beings are only meant to survive about 50 or 60 hours at the very most without food. Now, as we know, he's only meant to be being fed water through a tube. He's got 44 days to go. When he gets out of the box, you can be sure he'll be going straight back into another one, into hospital. They expect it'll take weeks to recover from this.
No, they
just did not like him.
Stupid
at all.
Magic.
Yeah.
Stupid magician, go home.
So the
we
box
don't care.
The box is 3 feet by 7 feet. And he's just hanging there suspended from a crane.
Mm.
I saw him in the
did
flesh.
Did you throw rocks or eggs
no,
at him?
Look, I had very limited amount of time in London before I returned from my trip to Wales. I had about only a few hours. I think I had about 7 or 8 hours, and it was mid-afternoon and we'd been driving all night, and we checked into a hotel at the airport, and I went, I'm going to get the tube into the city and I'm going to get on one of those hop-on, hop-off buses, and I'm going to do as comprehensive
a
tour of London as I could. I think I got about 3 hours to see all of London. And part of that was, of course, driving past the Tower Bridge. So I got a really good look at David Blaine hanging from the crane in his Perspex box. And people,
was he nude?
No, yeah, he was fully clothed.
For some reason I thought he was nude.
No, he wasn't naked. And then people were just chucking crap at him the entire time, that's ridiculing great. Him. People rock up and have a look, throw something, and then be on their way. You know what it reminded me of? It's very medieval. It reminded me of when they put people in stocks outside, like, you know, the criminals in stocks, and then the public just throw things at them the entire time, ridicule them. Like, Britain were really going back to their medieval roots there.
And they're taking their war anger out on the magic.
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a social experiment as well, I think, to a certain degree. It was interesting for the few seconds that I drove past, and I was like, well, there's a foolish man in a perspex box.
Was he asleep? What was he doing when you saw him? Could you actually see what he was doing?
He couldn't do anything. It's like 3 by 7 feet.
Was he asleep?
He was just lying down. Like, so you don't know most of the time you just saw
his feet. Was he dead?
He was barefoot, so you'd see his feet.
Were they dirty?
Yes. Yeah. I think. I wonder
how bad
he was up
that...
in a perspex box. I drove past.
Where did he go to the toilet? That was a really valid question. How did he go to the toilet?
The guy's an illusionist. He probably came down at night time. Who knows? You know.
That would have stunk by the end of it, that box. So, yes, people were throwing eggs.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than a stinky box either. It's just
the worst.
Yes.
People shone flashlights to stop him from sleeping. So, no, he wasn't sleeping. Several men mooned him.
What do you want to do tonight? Oh, no, I'm a bit bored. How about we go and get a flashlight and go and shine it at
that
David
stupid
Blaine.
Magician, and we'll bear our bums at him.
We'll point
we'll
and
brown
laugh.
Eye him.
It is extremely medieval.
He got so many brown eyes. I tell you what, if I was there and I had a few drinks at one of the pubs,
you
I probably would
have something at him
I would have
well.
Brown eyed him as well.
Why?
People were throwing golf balls at him as well.
Trying to break the perspex box.
Some people had conspiracy theories and they thought, much like the Tupac hologram, they thought he was a hologram.
Oh, that's an interesting theory.
And he did survive.
Yes.
And this is what he says, on water alone, and didn't eat any solid food or any nutrients or supplements for the 44 days. I don't understand.
So the thing that was interesting about it is I was listening when I was in the country to the radio stations there, and it was all over the news. They as much as they were like annoyed by him, it gave them fantastic fodder, great fodder for the news. So they were like, you know, it's day number whatever and David Blaine is still in his perspex box.
The
so
promotional
so,
vehicles for the radio station were giving out loaves of bread underneath
well,
David's
so the
box.
Poor, well, it's interesting that you say that because there was a newspaper – they got they didn't have drones at the time. They only had remote control helicopters. It was a different time. But they were hanging hamburgers
so medieval.
From the helicopters and flying the helicopters with burgers on them around his thing. But,
amazing.
You know, there were a lot of very angry reporters, like you heard that one there. Mm. He's like, oh, he's sleeping, which is half his luck because she's there at 5 o'clock in the morning doing crosses back to the television station. I mean, you would really think that you have reached peak career goals having to report on David Blaine being suspended.
And I guess the cost as well, if he had to be rescued and the medical costs and all of that stuff, like it's rude.
Well, I think the big thing was is everyone was like, he's an idiot, he's never going to make it. And he did make it. He did I think it was like 44 days.
44 days.
He did it. He was very unwell when he got out of there. His physical condition had deteriorated a lot. Dramatic weight loss. Severe muscle atrophy. Like he could barely walk. Because
he wouldn't have been using his muscles.
No,
yeah.
He's basically lying in a perspex coffin all that time and he didn't eat any solid food. He lost 25 kilos, which was almost 30% of his body weight. So he was pretty crook. So that was 19th of October. They pulled him out, which marked the end of the stunt. And he was like, yeah, I was hallucinating and I was delirious. And, yeah, I actually imagined that I was suspended in a perspex box above the Tower Bridge in London.
He said something about it, how everyone was supporting him and loved him. So he was clearly delirious.
We f***ing hate you, David Blaine. Well, it's been quite the show. We've had Arias, we've had David Blaine, we've had Mother Teresa, we've had all sorts of, we've had Panthers.
Supersonic.
I'm spent.
Flight.
Supersonic aircraft as well. Mm. So we've only got one thing for the Hatch, Match and Dispatch segment, so let's go straight to this. It was a dispatch. It was a celebrity who famously said this.
Swelling of the fluid sac surrounding the brain, contusions, inner bleeding. These are the things that our dreams are made of.
Yeah, that was a wrestler, in case you didn't know.
Oh, that makes sense.
Makes sense. And if you said Hawk, one half of the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, who died at age 46 this time 20 years ago, you would be correct. He was one half of a tag team called the Road Warriors. Hawk and Animal was the other half, otherwise known as the Legion of Doom. And they weren't actually WWE for quite some time. They were NWA for a while. They were independent wrestlers outside of it, like similar to like Ric Flair and stuff back in the day.
I've never heard of them.
But they were extremely noticeable and quite menacing. So they had face paint, but they also wore NFL body armor with massive spikes on them. And they had mohawks, and they were just terrifying, terrifying looking characters. Utterly fascinating. They're like action figures brought to life, as most wrestlers are, but these ones extra special because they had spiky body armor. So he had bought a condominium with his wife Dale, and they were packing boxes the night before. He actually spoke to Animal, his tag team partner, the night before he died. Mm-hmm. And this is his experience of it.
It was a rough day, brother. I was cleaning up my pool, then I got the phone call. And I just talked to Mike that night because he was moving his furniture out of his house. It's condo into a home. So he'll give me a call tomorrow, man. We got to go over some of these dates we got coming up and whatever. He goes, all right, I'll do that. I get the phone call and it's like, oof. It's like, hey, have you talked to Mike? I said, yeah, I talked to him last night. When's the last time you talked to him? Probably about midnight. He goes, and I got the call and he said, you know, Mike died. I sat on my deck and I cried like a baby, man. I'm sitting there with my vacuum in my hand from the pool and stuff. And I'm going, you gotta be freaking kidding me, you know?
It was
a bad day, man.
Just to clarify, he said he sat on his deck. Okay. Yeah, it was. And the thing is, so he said he spoke to him at midnight. He passed away at 1 a.m. Like an hour later. And it was a sudden heart attack, which is kind of run of the mill for wrestlers that are around their mid-40s. He became one of those statistics, unfortunately. They were actually working on a book for their career at the time. Now, Animal actually came back to the WWE in 2005, and he dedicated that run to Hawk, and he won a tag team victory at that stage. And you know, there was a lot of tributes for him at the time. They were in the WWE for a little while. They were inducted into the Hall of Fame by Dusty Rhodes, who's also passed away. And Animal himself, I think he passed away maybe 2020. I'm not sure.
Gosh.
Yeah. So, such is the life of a wrestler, unfortunately. But that's our dispatch for this week. We are at the end of the show on that note. But we do have a whole bunch of stuff that is worth sticking around for next week, don't we, Mel?
Oh, yes, we do. Lots of things. We're entering Halloween season, so
yes,
there is some scary movies that we're going to have a chat about. Mm-hmm. Call of Duty.
Oh.
Call of Duty,
yep.
One of your favorites.
Yeah, you're a war widow to Call of Duty. Yeah.
Yes, you spent many, many hours on Call of Duty. That was officially released.
Yep.
This time next week, back in 2003.
I don't know, so many wives and girlfriends either annoyed or relieved. I'm not sure because obviously kept the men in their life very busy.
Go
and play your little games. Leave me alone. Get that thing away from me and go and play COD. Yep.
Fat Man Scoop.
Oh.
Yes, we're going to chat Fat Man Scoop.
Mm.
Oh. And Bethany Hamilton. Do you remember Bethany Hamilton? She was a surfer whose arm got bitten off by a shark, and she survived.
Indeed.
And continued surfing. Amazing story.
They made a movie about her as well. And she's a very interesting character, so we'll definitely talk about her as well. Cool. That sounds like enough.
Yes,
I'm sure there'll be all that and more next week on T-20. In the meantime, go and see us on the social medias if you like. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and tell your friends. Pass this around amongst your friends. Get nostalgic with your friends. Then you can be like, hey, or just use this, keep it to yourself and use it as an edge at the water cooler. That's what I do. I'll be like at work and I'll be like, well, did you know this time 20 years ago? And they go like, oh, here he goes again. Maybe I should just keep it at the podcast. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Say hi to Mum for me.
Oh, no!
Thanks for taking the time to rewind. Join us next time for another week that was 20 years ago. In the meantime, come and reminisce on the socials. Search for T-20 Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.